This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is a call-in show where you call in and tell us all about your issues. I'm just kidding. Don't call in and just talk about your issues, but we also want to praise God together. This is a community here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship where we want to lift up the name of Christ, not only in our problems, but also in our praises. The number is 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. And you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. If you want to connect a little bit further with the show, you can check us out at stewardship.com and on social media at chrisbrownonair. A little encouragement for you as we start the broadcast today. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. If you've been guilty of this, and I shouldn't use the word guilty, but if you have done this, what I've done so oftentimes, and you have overcomplicated this thing we call life, well, here's your gross oversimplification right here in this verse. What God has prepared for those who love him. Let's go back to the big, huge monster commandment. The greatest of all commandments: to love him and love others. To love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go back and just simplify what we make so complex. If we start there, a lot of our issues, a lot of our problems, well, they kind of simplify themselves. So today, my challenge, before we even get into the meat of the broadcast, love him and love others. Again, the phone line is open, 866-357-3283. Our first call comes in from Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is Ann. Ann, how are you?
Good. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, how can I help?
I'm 34. I'm single. I'm baby step 7. I made $67,000 last year. I'll make more this year. I've been doing a budget every month. I'm paying for my master's out of pocket. I'm saving more than 15%, and I've been putting it in a Roth IRA, which is at $20,000, and my savings is also at $20,000.
Okay.
I'm renting a room right now for $300 a month. You can imagine it's kind of a dive.
Okay.
I'm just wondering how much longer should I rent?
Yeah, you said you're renting a room. Do you have other roommates, and is it actually a $300 dwelling?
No, I have two other roommates.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, if you're living in a place that's $300 a month, either A, you got a great deal, B, you're out in the country, or C, it's very unsafe. So, well, that's good. I mean, I think if you can leverage roommates, if it's not bothering you, just think about all the money you're saving. But if it is kind of getting to you, obviously you make enough income. And you've put yourself in a financial position where you don't have to do that. Where are you at with that? Are you annoyed by it?
Well, I just, I guess, some days I kind of am annoyed by it, but then other days, I really felt like maybe I should seek a little more wisdom, like to be level-headed about it, because the guy who I rent from is actually a Christian, the one who owns the home.
Yeah.
And then he rents to another guy, who he's kind of taking under his wing. He's a disabled veteran.
Okay.
So the house is actually very safe.
Yeah.
And so I feel like maybe it was kind of God's blessing to just put me in a real safe home, where I felt like I was not having to worry about where I was living.
Yeah.
And I just like the contentment piece of maybe just being content with the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know the contentment thing is hard because you, where's the line? It would be a lot easier if the Bible just gave us a line.
That's why I was trying to get like an outside opinion.
Yeah. Here's some of the questions I would ask myself if I was in this scenario. Number one, am I out of all consumer debt? And we've already answered that. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I would ask, do I have an emergency fund? And it sounds like you do. You've got $20,000. So that's good. Those are two things, major things.
No, that's outside of my emergency fund.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So you're even in a better position than that.
Yeah.
Then I would ask if I were to go buy somewhere to avoid mortgage insurance, because obviously you're showing a lot of discipline in your life, so you don't need this mortgage insurance in case you couldn't pay it off. I mean,
that's the thing. Like, I've held off buying so long. Like I listened to the first part. Like, I have a heart that wants to give. Like, love God, love others. Uh-huh. And I love not being in debt because I feel like I can love others that much more not being in debt.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I've waited so long to buy.
Yeah. No, I think, a lot of folks who are listening in have a payment, whether it's rent or whether it's owning, that maybe comes out to 13 or 18% of their overall income. And so you got to ask yourself, you're like, that's 87% of my income to spend on the basic day-to-day living and a ton of generosity. I don't think it keeps you from, unless you're really thinking you're going to give 100% of your income away every time it comes in. That's definitely a great goal. I think, let's say you're at 30 now, 30% giving away. You just don't want anything to keep you from going backwards. So just ask yourself, does it keep me back from being generous? Is it going to keep me back from the vision that I have? And if your vision is to give 90% of your income away, that's a unique calling. It's great. It's definitely something that we applaud. But if that is the vision for your life, and if you're listening in and that's the vision for your life, then yes, you're going to have to do some very extreme living circumstances, like being 34 years old and rooming with other folks and paying $300 a month. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just got to match up with what your vision is for your life. So you got to ask yourself, okay, what do I want 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And these are the questions I'd ask. Is consumer debt, emergency fund, do I feel good in the area? Do I know the market is kind of what I'm saying. Do I know the market? I'm not going to go buy anything if I don't know the market. If I haven't lived there very long. Am I going to live in this place for a long time? Or am I planning on moving in a year? Because I don't want to buy something if I'm going to move in a year or 2 years. And then, of course, another question I would ask is, will the payment be below 25% of my take-home pay on a 15-year fixed note? So those are the questions that I think you ask yourself, and then just ask yourself, does it line up with what I'm trying to do? I can't explain what contentment means to you, and your neighbor can't, and your mom can't, and your grandfather can't, but inside your heart. Contentment isn't necessarily sitting still. It's the condition of the heart while you're moving forward. And there's a big difference there. So I don't know what to tell you. You've definitely got a great situation now, $300 a month and making $60,000 a year and cash flowing a master's degree. And if it's just slight annoyance, I would just stay there. But if you chose to go rent a single dwelling by yourself, or if you chose to go buy a home, there's nothing wrong with those decisions either. It's completely up to you. The good news is that you got options because you put yourself in a great spot.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Love hearing that folks have put exactly what we teach into practice and put themselves in a position just like Ann, where they've got lots and lots of options. And I love the heart. Did you guys hear the heart? What I heard there was, I want to be the best steward possible. I want to one day look Jesus in the eyes and him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is amazing. God can mold a heart like that. That's impressive.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt, looking to buy a home, but you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
All right, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls, 866-357-3283. Also taking your emails at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Andrew. He says, is it wrong to buy municipal bonds since it is allowing our state to go into debt? Uh-oh, what do you guys think? Is it wrong? Well, that's obviously up for debate on whether that's wrong. For me, what I hear in this question, is it even wise? Is it even wise to do that? Since the 1920s, municipal bonds have generated an average annual return of about 4%. Ugh. A regular mutual fund, which you would pay taxes on, averages about 9% after taxes. Over time, that difference is gigantic. So putting $2,000 a year, $166 a month into a 4% investment will turn into $196,000 after 40 years. Pretty cool, huh? But putting the money into a 9% investment, again, that's after tax number, will grow it to $777,000. There is absolutely no comparison. So my question is it wise? Next up from Victoria, Texas, this is Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm better than I deserve, as Dave Ramsey says. How can I serve you?
Oh, I just had a quick question. I got two vehicles that are paid off. They're paid for, and I've been holding full coverage on them. And one of them I don't ever drive at all. It just sits at the house because I have a company truck. What I'm thinking of doing is either dropping insurance on it completely just to get a little more money coming my way, not paying that bill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do or not, and that's why I was calling to see what y'all think about it.
Yeah, yeah. So the one vehicle that's just sitting around the house, why do you own it?
Because it's paid for.
Okay, gotcha.
And if I ever lose my job, I need a vehicle.
Gotcha. Very good. Cool. Three things I'd consider. One is increasing the deductible to a place where you're willing to risk. So there's a deductible component to this. So by raising your deductible from like, let's say $500 to $1,000, you increase your risk, obviously, by $500. Now, if that reduces your annual premium by, let's say, $50, you'll have to go 10 years without an accident to break even. Not a great deal. But if increasing your deductible knocks down $150 off your annual premium, your break even's more in like 3 years. So it makes more sense. So increasing your deductible is a great way to save money. I would say for everyone listening in, have at least $500,000 in liability coverage. And that's a no-brainer. $500,000 in liability coverage. But when it comes to collision, whether we should have collision or not, you have a break-even analysis on the collision. If a $5,000 car, if you have a $5,000 car and you save, let's say, $800 a year on not having collision, then in about 6 years, you break even. If you're totaled your car in a wreck, that is your fault. You won't receive any money from the insurance company to buy a new one. So make sure you have enough in savings to replace your car before you make changes in your coverage. So some things to think about: collision, liability, the deductible. Those are all ways that you can save. And really, you're just doing a risk analysis of your tolerance of how much savings do you have? How comfortable do I feel? So if you wanted to ditch collision, that's up to you. Just do the break-even analysis.
I gotcha.
All righty.
All righty. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. All right, folks, if you've been thinking about investing lately, it's hard to dive right into investing, right? Lots of complicated things out there. It doesn't have to be complicated, but I know it's overwhelming and a little bit intimidating. If you need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest, listen up. Imagine working with an investing professional who explains every detail in a way that you can understand it, who offers guidance for your situation, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you because of your age or because of your account balance or maybe a lack of financial knowledge. That's what you get when you work with a SmartVestor Pro. So if you need someone you can count on to help you take control of your future, Go to stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor Pro in your area. And don't wait to get educated on your future. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and find a pro with SmartVestor, and you'll be all started and ready to go.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to your host, Chris Brown. Chris?
Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. We're taking your calls and taking your emails. The number's 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. This next call comes in from California. This is Andrew. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. How are you doing?
They've got your city on here, but I don't know how to read it. So,
Rancho Cucamonga.
Okay. Well, I'm going to totally mess that up. Anyway, how can we help you?
Well, I appreciate everything you guys do. You guys are super awesome. So thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I've been in the Navy for almost 11 years. It'll be next month.
Thanks for your service.
It's our pleasure. It's my pleasure as well. Thank you. I have three little girls. Pretty much made the decision about a year and a half ago that I was going to transition out. That way I could be with my daughters and not have to do deployments. So I got my real estate license about a year and a half ago. My wife's had hers for a while, been trying to work the transition. Been, you know, just busting the rear and, you know, trying to get out there and get on the grind and getting home and doing all that stuff. So so my paperwork is in for me to get out January of 2018. So it's a little, about 15 months. With that, I've submitted some paperwork to hopefully transfer to the Human Resources Department for the Navy, which would keep me away from deployment.
Okay.
So that's the good part. You know, hopefully if that goes through, then, you know, I don't have to worry about going to a commissions only position, you know, come January 2018, as we're pretty stable and pretty settled and stuff like that. I make about $90,000 a year. That's without real estate, with any of our closings and stuff like that. But we've been paying about $600 a month. We took some of the stuff that we paid off in our debt and we decided to invest it in some marketing. We did get in a contract, with a company that pays for leads. We do get leads. Sometimes they're not the greatest quality, but we do get some, and that costs us about $600 a month. If I wanted to cancel that, it'd be about $700 to cancel. So one, I know we're about 15 months away, but should we be pouring that much money out of our normal paycheck into marketing, even being, you know, 15 months away, not knowing what kind of the future holds, is question one.
Okay. I would say no. I would not be spending that $600 a month. If you can't pinpoint one sale a month that came from that, the average sale would probably yield, I don't know, $300,000 or $400,000 net after splitting it with the firm and paying taxes. If you can't at least get one sale per month that you can pinpoint because of these leads, then no, I wouldn't. Stewardship demands that if there's no return that you stop. My guess is that with your talent level and skill level, and your ability to generate a lead on your own, it would be worth saving $600 a month for you to maybe put one more hour of work into lead generation yourself to generate that one lead. So if it's just a one or two leads that are actually turning out and closing, if there's no return on it, I would definitely squash it.
Okay. And then the second part of that question would be, since we don't know whether I'm going to be staying in or getting out, you know, I should hopefully find out come this upcoming January whether this transfer will go through. And if it does, that's great. You know, then I get to stay in and retire as I only have like 9 years left. Should we be still paying off our debt very aggressively the way we have? I mean, everything we make in real estate, we put towards debt, you know, everything extra we put in there. Or should we be maybe, you know, trying to stockpile a little bit just in case the transfer doesn't go through. And then, you know, here we are, and, you know, I'm getting out and transitioning to a commissions only world.
I try to find a hybrid between the two, but don't put yourselves in risky situations. So if you think there might be a 2 or 3 month lull in pay because of the commission-based environment, then yeah, I'd stack some money away. There's other things you can do too to kind of avoid the risk. There's, in real estate world, there's a lot of levels of hand-holding that happens when you start. You can go to a firm where it's a 50-50 split and they do a lot for you. They do all your lead generation for you. They have a closing coordinator. They have a coordinator for everything that kind of walks you through it. They give you a website. They give you your signs. They give you your lock boxes.
Right.
They really hold your hand. There's other ones that's 95-5 split where really all you're getting is their branding and maybe national commercials. There's a way where you can reduce the risk and go in place where you're going to get a lot of leads and not have to come out of pocket as much. And then after a couple of years, you might transfer to another company where you go to a 70-30 split and do an 80-20 and then a 90-10. But there's a way where you can do this where it's not so risky.
Okay. Outstanding, yeah. Chris.
And one more thing to consider too about the $600 a month you're paying for the marketing. Make sure that as you analyze the ROI on that, that it might not be the idea that's a problem. It might be y'all's execution of the idea. So find out where the problem really is. It might not be with the company. It might not even be with the idea, but maybe it's not being maximized on the front end or the back end, or there's some kind of minor tweak that can increase the ROI without canceling it. But if you've already
we definitely get the leads. I think sometimes it's just maybe the quality. You know, sometimes they call me for apartment rentals or, income housing, which I can't even help with.
Yeah.
You know,
when you're handling those kind of leads, you're not handling other leads. So there's opportunity cost. So that sounds to me like it's not a good source of lead generation. And I'd rather have less leads that are quality. So maybe try something else.
Outstanding.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, I said you can call in and you can also email in. Feel free to email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I got an email here from Patricia. She says, my husband and I have no children. We have a living trust that includes our paid off home. Our trust is the secondary beneficiary on our life insurance policies and Roth IRAs if we both die at the same time. What will happen to the money in our joint savings, in our checking, in our money market and CD accounts? Thanks for all you do to help people. Have a blessed day. So that might have been confusing to you listening in. Just got lots of things going on. You got life insurance policies, Roth IRAs, you got money markets. The bottom line is, if you're out there and you're listening and you're confused, when you hear this question, pretty much what will happen when we die? The answer to all of your questions, if you've got that question, is you've got to have a written will. Period. You need to have a written will like yesterday. It's apparent that you have some significant money, Patricia, and stewardship, it demands that you know where it's going when you graduate to heaven, a place where it will be managed God's way and for His glory. And this is regardless of how much you like the people or like the organization. Your number one responsibility as a steward is to make sure that it continues to be managed God's way and for His glory. So remember, very important for us to remember when we're talking about wills that they are state specific. So if you have a previous one from another state with this transient world we live in, folks, we got to have it renewed within the state that you're in. We all need a will, period. And if you don't, there will be an absolute mess. After we go to heaven, there's going to be big court proceedings. I'm trying to figure it out. So here's the deal. Let me help you. And, it costs close to nothing to get a will. Go to stewardship.com. I provided a link there. You can download a will from U.S. legal forms. We've got that right there at stewardship.com. Let me reiterate, everyone needs a will. And I've done the research, y'all. The human mortality rate is 100%. So it's going to happen. I know we feel like we're, you know, indestructible. But here's the deal. We need a will like yesterday. Well, that was a tremendous email. Thank you so much for emailing in. Remember, you guys, you can take advantage of that. Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. We get many emails from y'all. We're very, very appreciative. Don't forget, you can get all your investing questions answered by one of our SmartVestor pros by going to stewardship.com. Just click on Chris Recommends and then find a pro to get started with an investing professional right there in your city. And as we sign off on this broadcast today, let this encouragement kind of fall all over you. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." But folks, don't miss the first part of that verse. "But those who hope in the Lord." Let's be a community who stewards this life with wisdom, but a community who ultimately puts their hope not in their wisdom, their hope in the Lord, where all wisdom comes from. God bless y'all.